The Adventures of Madame Strange. This story is called Web of Lies. This is part 4. Back in her RV, Bianca found Jerry and Winnie seated at the small kitchen table. "You're still here?" she said. "Where did you expect us to be?" Jerry asked. "I brought you where you asked, so why are you still in my RV?" "We can't go in the house," Winnie explained. "Why not?" "We don't know. We just can't." "So now what happens? Am I stuck with you forever?" Bianca asked. She felt exasperated. "I'm leaving here. This is not my problem. It's yours. I didn't even want to be here. I only came because you threatened me." "We never threatened you," Winnie insisted. "What could we have done to hurt you?" "You're ghosts, and you still don't know what you can do?" Bianca asked. She knew what ghosts could do to the living because she had seen it a few times. Then she thought about the situation and realized why she doubted Jerry and Winnie's story. They might not be lying, Bianca thought. They might not know the truth about what happened to them. Bianca still felt her priority was to keep Jerry and Winnie from harming the Bixbys. However, she had to know more. "This just keeps getting worse," she thought. "I keep getting sucked further and further in. Where will it end?" There was one other thing she could try. Bianca went back to the house and rang the doorbell. "Oh, it's you again," Jonathan Bixby said. "Hello. Maybe I could do something to help you find out more about Jerry and Winnie. I do possess some psychic ability, but I would need to know more about them." "Why, that's very kind of you. We're grateful you brought us hope, but we had no idea what to do next. Please come in." "Actually, it would be better if you came to my RV. That's where my crystal ball is. It's the only place it works," she lied. "I don't know why." "Well, we have the grandkids here now," Jerry replied. "We can't leave them alone. Could you stay around until they go home? Why don't you have dinner with us?" "That's kind of you. I've been traveling for almost a week. A home-cooked meal would be lovely, and I can get to know you a little better," Bianca thought. "Maybe I can pick up something that would help me figure out the truth." Over dinner, Darla and Jonathan chatted about their family. Darla seemed uncomfortable talking about Jerry and Winnie, but enthusiastically praised her other children and grandchildren. Bianca talked about her life on the road, going from carnival to carnival. She left out all the other stuff she did. Bianca never bragged about her involvement in people's lives. "So you never married, never had children?" Darla asked. "None that I know of," Bianca joked. Jonathan guffawed. Darla glared at him. She suspected her husband was smitten with Bianca, but didn't know why. "Is it because she's attractive? Because she lives on the road? Or because she's a fortune teller?" Darla wondered. "It doesn't make any difference anyway. She'll be gone soon. I'll just have to make sure I don't leave them alone." Darla's insecurity about her marriage made her feel jealous of the smallest attention Jonathan paid to other women. In the past, she had seduced him whenever she felt threatened. Darla overwhelmed him with sexual gifts to make him forget his attraction elsewhere. That was why the couple had 5 children. Jonathan had never been genuinely attracted to those other women, but he liked the attention Darla lavished on him and enjoyed her erotic favors. He also loved the children that resulted from their sexual extravagances. Jonathan had always been more devoted to their babies than Darla was. She provided motherly support, but Jonathan did all he could to engage, entertain, and bond with the babies as early as possible. They grew up with a strong sense of their father's love. Their mother's love was less a deep feeling and more of an assumption. They knew their mother loved them, but she rarely made them feel it. The abduction had affected Jonathan more deeply than Darla. She felt shocked, but would have been content letting the police handle everything. The website and nationwide search were Jonathan's ideas. His obsession with the search had distracted him from Darla, but she never raised any objections. She waited until all the possibilities were exhausted and hoped he would forget about Jerry and Winnie. He had let the search lapse until Bianca showed up. Now Darla felt threatened not only by Jonathan's renewed obsession with the search, but by Bianca's presence. "Tell me about that day you were at the rest stop in Ohio," Bianca asked. She knew the memory was likely to be difficult, but it was necessary to ask. Plus, she hoped to probe their minds as they were recalling what happened. Jonathan answered immediately. "We were heading toward Chicago, hoping Darla's brother would take us in, but weren't sure he could. He was in a bad way himself. We had lost everything, both jobs, our house, and all our possessions. All we had was our car and the kids. They were hungry, and there was no food and almost no money. We couldn't decide between buying food or gas. If we bought food, we would likely run out of gas somewhere in rural Ohio snow, and we would all be dead from the cold. If we bought gas, we could make it further down the road and maybe find a miracle. A miracle? Bianca asked. One of us could get a job. We asked everywhere we stopped, but there was no work. Anyway, at that rest stop, we left the youngest kids in the car, and only the oldest went inside. We didn't want the youngest to smell the food or see people eating. We spent some time asking if there were jobs. When we came back, Jerry and Winnie were gone. We told the cops right away. Jonathan began tearing up. Bianca waited for him to continue. They searched the rest stop, of course. That was before there were cameras everywhere, so there was no way to see what vehicles arrived or departed, or maybe see if someone approached our car and took Jerry and Winnie away. The cops put out an alert on the radio, but it was too late. Our kids were gone. Jonathan finished and began crying. Jerry and Winnie told me their mom and dad drove off without them, Bianca thought. Jerry's grief looks real. But why isn't Darla crying? I would think this memory could be worse for a mother than a father. The cops and people at the rest stop took up a collection for us, Jerry went on. We were going to stay in the area while the search was underway, but one of the people we met knew of a job I could get immediately. Ironically, it was back here, where we started. So we left. We kept in touch with the cops. After we got back on our feet, I set up the website to publicize what had happened and thank all the people who had helped us. The site got a lot of traffic and several leads, but nothing panned out. I guess I'll never know what happened to my kids, Jonathan added. Then he continued sobbing. Darla was silent. Bianca tried to probe her mind, but got nowhere. Either she's blocking me or something else is going on, Bianca thought. She didn't want to speculate about possible reasons. Darla seemed emotionless. Bianca felt no closer to the truth. The meal had been great, but she still had no sense of what was going on with the Bixby family. Bianca went back to the RV. Winnie and Jerry were waiting. So, did you learn anything? Winnie asked. No, did you? Bianca replied sharply. It seemed obvious the two ghosts were unaware of the abilities they possessed. They could easily probe the minds of anyone they wanted to. They could discover hidden feelings or memories. Bianca had seen other ghosts do it. It was easy. So now what? Jerry asked. You tell me. I'm not even supposed to be here. I already did what you demanded. I don't owe you anything more. I want to leave and let you figure out what you're going to do next. This isn't my problem. It's yours. But don't you go around helping people? Isn't that what you do? Isn't the fortune teller thing just a front? Jerry asked. His question shocked Bianca. How does he know that? Has he been probing me without my knowing it? Maybe these guys are better than I thought. People, yes. Ghosts, no. You know, you don't believe us, do you? Winnie asked. Bianca nodded. Why not? I don't believe what anyone in his family is telling me. Something else is going on, but I can't figure out what it is, and I'm fed up with being manipulated. We're not manipulating you, Winnie yelled. You forced me to come here. You're expecting me to get information from your parents. If these people even are your real parents, maybe that's a lie too. But they know our names, Jerry protested. They know who we are. Oh, yes. They lost children named Gerald and Winifred. But how do I know if you two are the same Gerald and Winifred? Maybe you're imposters or delusional. Maybe you only think you're Gerald and Winifred. Or maybe I'm talking to two crazy ghosts, Bianca thought. How can this get any worse? She's right, Winnie said. Her comment surprised Bianca. So, are you going to tell me the truth now? Bianca asked. Well, no, Winnie replied. Why the hell not? Don't you think you owe me? It's not that easy, Jerry said. What do you mean? Bianca asked. What Jerry means is that we don't know what the truth is, Bianca. I'm sorry. We thought we knew, but we're not sure now. Of the truth or anything else. Oh, I see. Don't be angry with us, Jerry said. How could I not be angry? You used me, and now I'm trapped in whatever bizarre family drama is unfolding here. I should just dump the two of you out on the street and peel away from here. You can work it out with the Bixbys. You could, but you won't, Winnie said. That's not what you do. Bianca knew Winnie was right. There was a reason these ghosts had found her and drew her into their dilemma. The deeper she went, the stranger things became. Bianca didn't want to leave now, even if she could. She wanted to know the truth. Her help was needed, obviously. But what she could do and how she could do it escaped her. There's no way out but in, Bianca thought. Grimly, I'm stuck here until this plays out. Bianca sighed. So now what? She asked. What do I do next? I'm out of ideas. She knew by their silence that they were too. End of part four. Thanks for listening. This material is copyrighted, all rights reserved.